What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to episode 144 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for the 144th time, I am not counting though, by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, things are great. We just had the League of Legends Worlds draw. How about that? How are you feeling for C9?
Come back to me on that. I'll make a comment on that later. How are you feeling about Fnatic?
A little worse than you probably are about C9. Yes.
maybe. Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're at it on Twitter, go ahead and give Joey and myself a follow. Find Joey at Courtside King, myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome as always. There are those handles below, those amazing mugshots you are currently focusing your eyeballs on. And if you're listening on the podcast later on down the road, they'll be in the show notes for you below. And Nation, why not stop there? I mean, you shouldn't stop there. You should keep going after that. How about leaving us a review? Reviews go a long way to help the show out, and we would really appreciate it. We can grow the community. We can bring more amazing people into the Level Up community here. So if you have a free moment, or two, leave us a review. Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. I said iTunes. You know what? I should probably go off of a list or something. That'd probably make this a lot smoother. But what we're trying to say is leave us a review. We would love to hear the feedback from you, our listeners. And it's another great way to, again, promote the show to other people online as well. So we would greatly appreciate that. Nation, we teased it just a little bit there on that opening, but the group and play-in draw for the League of Legends 2019 Worlds Tournament just happened today, being Monday the 23rd, the day that we are recording this. All the teams know their path to glory and who they're going to have to go through. Western teams, Joey, myself included, Fnatic and Cloud9, it's going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride. But Joey, aside from that bumpy ride in Worlds of 2019, what else are we touching on this week on episode 144?
John, it wouldn't be esports without a little bit of drama here and there. We have a few organizations parting ways with one another over certain deals. But on top of that, we also have some really positive news. A lot of really good partnerships coming out. Tons of funding, especially in high school esports. So we'll be covering that as well. And last but not least, we got to hit on that Worlds draw. We will be talking in-depth analysis on that as well.
Do we have to talk? I really don't want to talk about it. Like, we were getting crap on Twitter today when
More like Joey, condolences.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, are we already writing the eulogies for all the Western teams? Joey, it's going to be one of those episodes. We're going to be touching on something that a lot of us are not looking forward to, and that's the draw for our beloved esport organizations for League of Legends. It's not looking good, Joey, so I know I'm going to need some assistance. I don't know about you, but I'm going to need some assistance to get through this very, very tough episode. So, Joey, of course, I'm talking about the drink of choice. I need to know your beverage for the 144th time, sir.
I brought back the alcohol, John. I'm going with a Bullet Bourbon.
Thank God it doesn't have sugar milk. That's all I have to say, or milk sugar. Or whatever. Joey, fun fact, it is Oktoberfest in my favorite part of the world. That is Ooh. Germany. So I have broken out. I'm not going to pronounce the brewery it comes from because I'm not that good. It is Munich Gold Lager.
This beautiful... on, we need a brewery. Come on, give me
no.
a little...
No, absolutely not. So the most important thing, it is brewed according to the German law of purity of 1516. So yes, it's good. We're just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to pronounce that. It's,
not even an attempt
after
all these names I pronounce on this show. You can't even give me a brewery.
How do you pronounce P-S-C-H-O-R-R? Pascor?
Can you use that in a sentence?
No, I can't. I can't even use it by itself. It's bad. It's bad. Joey, it's as bad as the draw was for Western teams in the League of Legends Worlds for 2019. But I have a feeling we're saving that for a little bit later in the show. So how about we waste no more time, Joey? Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
We're going to kick things off with the one Western team that got a really favorable draw, and that's Team Liquid. They've added John Patterson as their new CFO. Don't know if it'll help them too much with Worlds, but it sounds like it will help them financially. A big guy coming in here in particular, he spent about 15 years in the finances of different digital media platforms here and there. I think it's a great move overall. Can't say I know a ton about the guy, but it seems like he has a great resume.
Is it safe to say that he's paid for by Steve?
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah, there you go. How did Team Liquid get that? You know what? Well, I'll hold off. I'm going to hold off. Continue, sir.
Yeah, I'll hold off too, but I think Team Liquid might not be as safe as people think they are just yet.
They could be in the play-in stage and not be. You know what? I'm going to wait. I do not want to jump the gun.
Well, someone who does want to jump the gun, that is Furia. They have added Hen1 to their CSGO roster, looking for him to jump the gun on their enemies. I'm all over the place on this one, John, and I don't want to flame the guy, but I'm pretty sure this is one of the players that got in trouble previously when he was on Immortals. He was one of those players that came out, I believe, drunk on stage or hungover or something like that, and he got released from Immortals at the time. Again, someone can fact check me, but I'm pretty sure on this one. So for me, I think the guy has a lot of talent, but I feel like the off-the-stage issues and apparently on the stage at certain events just have come into play in his career and have seemed to really knock him off the scene the way it should be going for a lot of players.
Are you fact-checking me? Yeah, I'm fact-checking you right now because I'm actually kind of interested on this one.
I'm pretty sure this is one of the guys. I think it was him and Lucas, if I remember correctly.
The awkward silence.
Chat is saying was DreamHack event for the finals, so I'm going to take that as confirmation.
Yes, it looks like it was him and his brother. Yeah, Lucas won and Hen won.
Thank you, Sporcel, in chat as well.
And chat's there right there with the confirmation of the confirmation.
Okay, so yeah, this is my biggest issue with him. He's a talented player, all in all, mechanically, but when it comes down to stuff like that with the you can't say off the field, but off the stage issues, I guess you could say. That's a big issue for me. I feel like the talent is there, but when you bring that extra baggage, it kind of makes it more questionable. Maybe now that he's not with his brother, I don't think his brother plays for Furia, so maybe that would make some difference. But again, it's just there's a lot of question marks for me when people have off the stage issues like that. Anything else on Mr. Hen1? Okay, moving on. Nip, they have finalized the revamped Dota 2 roster. We're looking at Skitter, Gunner, Universe, Byver, and PPD. Overall, I think this is a good roster, John. It's that time right after the International where we see the overhaul of Dota rosters. Some organizations will buy completely new ones. Some will dump what they currently have and decide if they want to stay in the Dota scene. Some will just switch a few players here and there. This was one that switched just a few players here and there. But we do see some good players coming in. In particular, Universe and PPD did play with each other before. I believe it was on Evil Geniuses. So they do bring some chemistry. I want to say PPD was already there and Universe is the new player coming in. He usually plays top. So I'm excited to see how this pans out. I think on paper, the roster looks really good. But proven in tournaments is really what we're curious to see.
Yeah, and Joey, you hit the nail on the head. A lot of organizations are making those moves after the International. We touched on it last week also. And I have a feeling this isn't going to be the last time we're talking about it. This close to after the International is over. It's fairly common in Dota. I still do not understand why it's common in Dota for massive roster overhauls or organizations just dropping it altogether just to buy a small team who qualifies next year. That's why they get paid the big bucks. That's why they have the organizations, because to me, that just doesn't make sense. But yeah, definitely not surprising here.
I mean, John, that's them trying to win the big bucks. I feel like Dota is played so differently than any other sport or esport just because people are playing for that tournament. League of Legends, you're building up over time. The prize pools aren't anything absolutely ridiculous. Same with CSGO. You're making roster changes here and there. Dota, it feels like so many rosters are small teams right up until about a month out from the International, and then big organizations come in and swoop them up, or they'll buy out little organizations or different things like that. I feel like everyone wants that shot at that $27 million, $37 million, whatever it ends up being that year. So Dota is going to be one of those scenes where you just constantly see that, I have a feeling.
Predictions a year out, Joey. Are we going to hit $40 million for the International next year?
I think you'll hit $40 million. It was, what, 37-something this year?
I think it was 37 this year.
Yeah, I think you hit $40 million. I'm curious if Dota ever is going to see a decline. But I feel like the prize pool at least has been consistently going up and up and up. And I feel like Dota fans are, let's say, inspired enough to spend extra money to keep that prize pool going up over what League of Legends offers to at least instill that little bit of rivalry between the two. Kronk Esports and Entertainment have parted ways with Sentinels and built their own front office to run LA Gladiators and one of the two future LA COD teams. I want to say this came out, it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, where Sentinels said no to Kronk Esports when they were looking to buy one of the Call of Duty slots. Due to their agreement, they had to go and make it like a mutual decision, and I don't think Sentinels wanted to invest in that Call of Duty spot, so there were some issues there. They had to, or no, it was it League of Legends? It was a spot for some, was it? It was the League of Legends spot is what it was. I know, now I'm questioning it too. I'm pretty sure it was the League of Legends spot. I think it was one of the ones that Immortals ended up buying. But originally, Kronk Esports Entertainment was looking to swoop in and pick it up. But then it just didn't end up working out because of the whole Sentinels relationship. It was one of those major teams. I want to say it was League of Legends now. But it ended up not going well. It ended up going south. And eventually, it looks like these two are just going to completely part ways, which is going to send Sentinels just to pretty much their Fortnite events, to my knowledge. And then the LA Gladiators will stay with Kronk Esports Entertainment, and they will no longer be managed by the Sentinels in the office. This is a mess to me. This is a complete mess. I feel like this is part of the issues with organizations getting together like this. When one of them has the major funding and the other one is playing more of a management role, it's just, it's so unclean, because the Sentinels base has come in here. They've built up this whole LA Gladiators brand. They have some of the best social media in all of Overwatch League, in my humble opinion. And they've just done such a good job building out the brand. And now you're saying, hey, we have this disagreement over the slot. It's no little disagreement. Don't get me wrong. We're talking millions of dollars. But at the same point, you're separating the brand from what it's become. You're separating those social media managers, potentially, unless Kronk Esports hires them on. Like, this is just very messy to me, especially around a new fan base.
So I'm going to say this just because I'm originally from Denver, Colorado. A lot of the traditional sports teams that I root for are from Denver, Colorado. Kronk Esports Entertainment own the Colorado Avalanche, the Denver Nuggets. They have a huge grab in the media market in the Denver area. This is, to a T, Stan Kroenke at his finest. He is not exactly known for being the most well-rounded individual. He's a little rough around the edges. He makes really bad business decisions. He tries to stab people in the back. It's weird. It's different. He's unique. He's also the owner of the LA Rams in the NFL, and they seem to be doing pretty well. Well, that's what he really focuses on. That's what he really cares about. He could never buy out anything from the Denver Broncos, so he had to go get his own organization, in this case being the LA Rams in St. Louis, brings them all the way over to LA. That's his baby. He doesn't care about anything else. His money essentially goes straight to the LA Rams. Even in esports, we saw how shifty he was with the whole League of Legends spot, which I believe, thank you for chat for bringing this up too, was the spot going from Echo Fox after that whole fiasco, no pun intended, after that whole thing went down. So you saw how dirty that became. And when a lawsuit was brought up, Stan dropped everything. Kronk was like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not going to do anything. I just don't want to do anything. Because he knew what he did. That's how he handles business. And not just in the traditional sports realm, but in esports too. It is a hot pile of... It's a hot mess, is what I'm trying to say. And it doesn't surprise you. Like, if you follow anything that Stan Kroenke has touched, or his family, or this organization has touched, it is always and always will be a hot mess. It's absolutely absurd how he runs his business, and now the esports world gets to see how shifty he is.
In case you guys can't tell, John has spent some time in Colorado and does have a few ties to those area, to those teams in those areas. But overall, I can't say I've followed Kroenke's teams that often. I think he also has Arsenal over in the EPL. He seems to throw some money at that one too, John, just to throw that out there. But overall, don't they own Arsenal too? Doesn't he have Arsenal?
When's the last time Arsenal was relevant in the EPL?
Okay. It hasn't been that long.
It's been pretty long.
Okay, but he's still spending money. I mean, he put a lot of money on Mesut Ozil. He spent a lot on Sanchez. Like, he's throwing some money here and there. But overall, yeah, I'd agree. He's not the greatest owner out there. We've seen better owners for sure, and we've seen a lot of things handled more cleanly in other ownership groups. But overall, the bigger issue for me is the fact that he's parting ways with this organization. Not because of the whole deal that fell through, but the fact that he's breaking the brand away from the fans. When you look at the Overwatch League, this is a new up-and-coming league that is so fan-dependent right now in its early stages. To break that group away that's already built so many relationships is just very, very messy to me, and I think that's going to come back to bite him in the long run. Especially when there's another LA team right next door. Like, I don't know what he's thinking on that one.
He does not care. I guarantee you he doesn't care.
What a mess. On the non-messier side, Activision Blizzard has tapped former Reebok executive Dan Mazzei to head up their global esports communications. At Reebok, Mazzei led the company's global PR, digital content, and social media divisions. John, we've talked about it before. It is a great step to pull someone from, whether it be sports, whether it be global attire of some kind, in this case, shoes. News has been another big popularity or popular place to pull people from. I think anything that is global reach and especially branding, brand building on a global scale is huge. When you can pull in that really organizational stuff, both domestic and international, it's able to build a brand so much quicker. Now Activision Blizzard, already a very well-known brand with their games being distributed all over Asia, all over Europe, all over North America, Oceania. They already have their name out there. Why not partner with someone else who has their name out there and try to build new relationships, try to make their way out to other areas? I think this is a really, really good move by Activision Blizzard.
I agree with everything you just said, except for how you led into that transition, into that segment. You said, let's go from something that is a mess to something that's a little less messy or not as a mess. Blizzard Activision is a mess also. Let's be real here.
But the signing itself is not.
No, you're right. You're right. It's not. But it's like, let's talk about something that isn't a mess. Blizzard Activision. And I'm just like, ooh, you know, it's kind of funny. And I say that on the eve of patch 8.25 coming out for World of Warcraft, where the battle for Azeroth is going to come to a conclusion. The war campaign is going to end. And a lot of people are assuming that the next expansion is going to be announced at BlizzCon. And there's a lot of anger towards the Battle for Azeroth expansion, as this kind of goes to show you how out of touch Blizzard and Activision have become with their community. But yet they make amazing deals like this on their financial and marketing and partnership side. You're just like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, let's bring in a guy from Reebok that has that international grab, that understands our brand and what we're going to try to go for here. And then you see how big of a disconnect they have with their current player base. And it's just kind of like, it's an interesting move. But I was just more commenting on that lovely segue you had there, going from one mess to something that was not a mess.
Not as messy. Yeah, Activision Blizzard. I'm actually calling for Activision Blizzard to have a bounce back this year.
I think so.
Losing Chris Metzen was a big loss for them in previous years. This last one in particular. I mean, he was such a visionary for that company, in my opinion. With him stepping down, now he's completely gone. He's here maybe for a little bit of inspiration here and there, but I think losing him was a big hit to Blizzard. I think with Call of Duty coming out this year, with one of their better-looking Call of Duty titles in years, then on top of that, WoW Classic is doing well. I think Diablo fans will finally get their Diablo 4 come BlizzCon. If they don't, I do think the Blizzard offices will probably be set on fire. Maybe by Diablo himself.
I am fully expecting an update on Diablo Mobile and having the entire of BlizzCon just like go into a gigantic borderline mosh pit at a rock concert is kind of what I'm envisioning, where they just start thrashing all over the convention center. If Blizzard is smart, they will not touch Diablo Mobile any further than that absolute nightmare that was last year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think good BlizzCon is on its way, though. I think it might not be the greatest BlizzCon of all time, but I think we are going to see a pretty good one this year. I think between Diablo 4, I think we might get Overwatch 2 announced. I think we'll get a new WoW expansion that players will have more feedback in. Hopefully. Just feeling it. I feel like we're going to have a good BlizzCon. So buy your Activision stocks, ladies and gentlemen, and then blame John if it goes wrong.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't give out stock advice on this show, sir.
No, but seriously, I am buying Activision stock. I think it's going to have a good year. But this is not a financial podcast. Let's jump back into esports. It is rumored that Overactive Media will be looking to shut down the Splice brand as part of its restructuring and consolidation of franchises. Overactive Media purchased Splice in November 2018. On top of that, John, it is rumored that the Splice spot, in particular in the League of Legends scene with the LEC, will be rebranded to Mad Lions. Mad Lions is currently an LOL team that plays in the Spanish League under Overactive Media. It looks like they will be dropped from the Spanish League, and that name will be assumed in the LEC for what Splice currently is. I don't know how to say that. But yeah, so this is another messy thing to me. I get it. I understand if you have so many different brands out there, you want to consolidate, you want to make it cleaner. I completely get that. My issue is I think we're going to see certain people get left to the side. I think Splice, like the staffing will be cut down. We'll see some really good people, I don't want to say freed, but let go, which they'll probably go on to other new up-and-coming brands and great things will happen. But it is sad to see something like Splice, a brand that's been around for quite a while now. I think it's been around since 2015-ish, if I remember correctly, maybe a little bit earlier. But they are a great brand, and they're really well-known, especially in League of Legends, not as much in other scenes. I believe Rocket League, they're pretty decent as well, but they don't have the biggest brand out there. But on top of that, Mad Lions doesn't either. I mean, outside of the Spanish League, has anyone heard of Mad Lions? Have you, outside of the Spanish League?
No.
That's why I don't get this.
That's the problem. You know, it's like marketing 101 is you want to build a brand that is recognizable. You want to have a brand that people can identify with that when they look at, they go, oh, I know what this is. I know what I can associate with that. That's Splice to a T. You know, you may not be a fan of the name. You may not be a fan of the logo that they chose to go with. But at the end of the day, that is exactly what they did. They created a brand. They created an identity. And yeah, they did it through League of Legends. I mean, when you say Splice and you follow the world of esports, you know Splice. Splice is big in League. You know, it's not as big as in other titles, like you said, Joey, but it's still a big name, and they're competitive in the LEC. People know who they are. They've done what they needed to do. It is a brand. It is a name. It is a logo that has worldwide recognition. Mad Lions? Prior to us, you know, going over the show, I've never even heard of them. Like, that is the problem. Mad Lions 1 is not unique. Lions is a very overused animal for any kind of logo or team name. So you throw Mad in front of it, and oh, all of a sudden it's edgy and gamerish because, you know, all video game players are edgelords deep down. You know, it makes no sense. If you're going to kill off a brand, you kill off the brand that nobody knows. You kill off the brand that nobody cares about, because if they did care about it, they know about it. You kill off the part that just has nothing there. It's such a small community that follows the Mad Lion scene when in comparison to Splice. It's just, it's not the right move. It is incredibly awful. Like, This is even worse. Like, I will give Dignitas a pass with their name change and their logo change now. This is a terrible idea, killing off a brand like Splice with how much worldwide recognition it gets. It's awful. It's a terrible, terrible idea. They're essentially going to start from the ground up. It's bad.
Yeah, it's just messy. Like, okay, I'll give Dignitas more credit. I mean, Team Dignitas, you cut out the team, you rebrand the logo, but they're still keeping the heart of it. They're keeping the Dignitas. Splice is not keeping the Splice. So they have Toronto Defiant. They have this new Call of Duty team eventually. Like, okay, that's great, but those are limited to those cities. You can't really expand that brand based on these league rules, at least to my knowledge. Okay, now you got Mad Lions, you got Splice, you have some StarCraft here and there. I think they've been in CSGO before. They've definitely been in Rocket League before. But as Splice, Splice is that name that is worldwide recognized. That's the biggest issue for me. I think if anyone gets rebranded, it's Mad Lions. Make them Hissing Snakes. Make them something snake-related. Scaly Serpents. I don't care what you name them. Mad Lions, to me, sure, it's big in Spain, but I think Splice has such a bigger, broad, worldwide appeal. That's the brand I keep. Maybe you want to go Overactive Media as your overarching, but then I think you still keep Splice somewhere in there. Like, I feel like Splice is even more well-known than the Toronto Defiant, to be completely honest. Moving on, say hello to TheoryCraft. TheoryCraft is the brainchild of Monte Cristo, Blumigan, and Lauren Gabba Flanagan, based out of LA. It's going to be an esports consultancy firm. John, this is something we've really missed in esports. It's something we've seen a lot of player organization disputes come over. I think it's something that's really needed in esports, and I think Monte Cristo, Blumigan, and Lauren here are really good people to lead that charge.
Yeah, and Monte even made a comment on this on Twitter. I think it was a while ago, but he retweeted himself today, actually talking about this, about how he's open to being a consultant. He's open to helping organizations get off the ground. Like, it wasn't just a meme. It wasn't a joke on Twitter. He legitimately, like, I know a lot of people have issues with Monte Cristo, and I'm not going to tell you whether your feelings towards him are valid or not. Obviously, they're your feelings, and that's completely cool. But deep down, when it comes to esports, he wants what's best for the scene. He truly does. He probably has one of the better insider views of esports and how it relates with the rest of the world in his position, especially when it comes to casting. So I love this move. I think TheoryCraft is a great opportunity here to really help support players. Because let's be real here. A lot of the players in esports are young kids. Like, again, let's not forget a 16-year-old just won $3 million playing Fortnite. 16. I mean, Joey, I didn't know what to do with $500, let alone $3 million, you know, at the age of 16. I would argue most of the esport gamers out there that are under the age of 18, they need some assistance. And let's be real here. Their parents aren't exactly up to date with what's going on with esports. It's still a new concept to them. So there's a lot of gray areas that some people don't feel comfortable on. That's where TheoryCraft can come in and really make a huge difference in the esports scene.
100%. And like I said, John, it's needed. It's something that, I mean, look at Tfue, that whole thing with FaZe. I mean, there's been so many of those situations throughout esports. And there's also been esports tournaments where organizers have not paid out organizations. If you're a tournament organizer, people have got to get their prize pools, and it can't be 6 months, a year, 2 years later. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Some of these orgs not even being paid out. So I think something like this is also going to come into play in that area as well. So something that the esports scene really needed, and I think Monte Cristo and Bloom again has a lot of experience in that area with esports law. They're going to be the perfect ones to lead this charge. Play Versus, high school esports, great up-and-coming thing. They have announced $50 million in Series C funding from NEA, Battery Ventures, Sapphire Sport, O1 Advisors, Michael Ovitz, and more. This is just something we see continue to grow, John. High school esports is on the up-and-up. Since June of last year, they've raised just shy of $100 million, and I think that funding's going to keep going. I think we might see a Series D coming after this. With high school esports on the up and coming, especially with collegiate esports now, with possible Olympic esports, there are so many different tiers of esports now. High school is one of those really, really key tiers, and I think we continue to see more funding go into that tier. Oh, okay. I'm now have that like no, fear where I've frozen.
No, you're set.
Fashionable partnership coming up next. We have Louis Vuitton partnering with Riot Games for Worlds 2019 and beyond. Louis V here will create the travel case for the Summoner's Cup for this year's World Championship. The Summoner's Cup being that giant trophy that players have a very hard time holding up on stage after they win it. And Louis Vuitton, being one of the biggest fashion designers known throughout the world, will be designing that case. Louis Vuitton has also designed cases for the FIFA World Cup, for the Rugby World Cup, and more, to name a few of those. I believe the Sailing World Cup was also one of their big ones. So I think this is exciting. I mean, there's going to be a few other parts to this deal where Riot Games will announce later on. There's going to be some unique champion skins coming out. I can only imagine the direction that these go. I think they will probably be for female characters, if I had to take a guess. They will be designed by a artistic director of women's collections at Louis Vuitton, along with other digital assets that will be released in games, like a capsule collection as well. I'm excited for this overall. I don't know if a Louis Vuitton skin is going to be quite my style personally, but I do love the idea for this partnership. I think this is going to bring esports to a whole new audience. The fashion industry, I don't know if esports is that big of a thing in high fashion right now, and I feel like something like this might tie that together a little bit, start getting its name out there, and potentially pick up some new investors as well.
Okay, so I love and I hate this. How am I going to begin? A carrying case for the Summoner's Trophy, I think that's stupid. Even the Stanley Cup is put into a regular like cargo case with stickers slapped all over it, like it's been in a, like 18 rock concert tours, and it's seen the wear and tear over the years. It's a gimmick. It's a way to get more money coming in. I mean, it is what it is. It's literally just a marketing and promotion plot into an untapped market for Louis Vuitton, and really, you know, when you take a look at gamer clothing and esport organizations clothing, it's right up there with some of the biggest names in streetwear. And esports clothing has really gone in that direction where it's promoting kind of this culture. And with gaming and esport culture and really nerd culture, if you will, really being on the up and up and being accepted in modern day culture, it's not surprising to see these kind of crossovers anymore. I mean, you see a lot of gamers wear Louis Vuitton. You see a lot of them wear Versace, or those are really the only two that I can think of off the top of my head at the moment. But that's the thing is there is this crossover. when it comes to clothing, when it comes to being an entertainer, when it comes to being in that limelight, there is that crossover with fashion and gaming. So it doesn't surprise me that they made this partnership, but what does surprise me is the carrying case, which is a little weird to me. An in-game skin will be interesting. Just out of curiosity, how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of Riot points is that going to cost you to have an in-game Louis Vuitton t-shirt on Thresh? Or, you know, I just, it's weird. It's a good partnership, but it's just weird.
Okay, I will be stunned if it ends up being Louis Vuitton Thresh.
Louis Vuitton Thresh. It could be like a Louis Vuitton Rumble, maybe. How about that? Yeah.
I would be stunned if we see it on any male champions, to be honest. Maybe one or two, but the guy designing them is a women's designer. I think you're going to see it on like Jinx, on Caitlyn, on, I don't know, Ahri, Taliyah. Like, I don't know. I do not see Louis Vuitton Thresh. I would get a kick out of it. I would probably not pay the price tag for it, but boy, I would get a good laugh out of it.
Louis Vuitton Draven compliments a Squirtle. I like
that
one.
Ooh, that could be interesting. A little fur coat, a little fur.
Killing them with fashion.
Good times. Good times. The NBA, NBA Players Association 2K, and ESL have partnered up to launch the NBA 2K20 Global Championship. This will be a multi-event circuit running from October to February and feature over $100,000 in prizes. John, okay, I'm a little confused by this one. Is this the NBA 2K League rebranding, or is this the NBA 2K League running an event alongside their normal league?
I think this is the developer putting on a separate tournament outside of the NBA 2K League. At least that's the way I'm interpreting it. But at the same time, I feel like that kind of shoots yourself in the foot because you have an established league now that's two seasons in. So you're going to have a separate like one-off tournament here for who? Are you going to allow NBA 2K League players to play? Because technically speaking, aren't they supposed to be the best players in the world? It's weird. I don't think they're rebranding. I just think this is honestly the developer doing an offshoot.
I think it's a secondary tournament as well, and I think it's supposed to be open to more players. The NBA 2K League is technically open to everyone. They just have to play their way through the trials. They have to work their way up and then get drafted into the league. This to me sounds a bit more like the Gears of War approach that we just talked about last week. It seems like players can play. It looks like the regions are Los Angeles, Paris, and Sydney, at least are three of them. Where players will just be able to play their way through these tournaments. Again, a similar approach to the NBA 2K League, a little different here and there. And then if they make their way to the regionals and they win the regionals, I think they get prizes based on that. And then they can go on to like a worldwide championship. I think it's a good deal overall. I mean, you make a good point. It could pull away from the NBA 2K audience. At the same point, the NBA 2K audience is more locked to the North American region. Yeah, China can do it. I believe they're going to have viewership rights moved by, I want to say Tencent made the deal for that one. So it's viewable in other regions. But when you look at the teams, now you can pull teams from all over Europe, all over Australia, Oceania, Asia. If you can pull all these other teams in with this global approach, that might end up expanding NBA 2K viewership for the league as well. So I think it's a good deal. We'll see what happens. I mean, NBA 2K League is one of those leagues that's not quite shown that it's really made its way onto the scene just yet. Like, it's still a growing league. It's still trying to find its footing. And it's really something in general with sports-based leagues right now. I mean, you have the NHL looking to jump in. FIFA has a pretty good standing in EU, but hasn't quite made its scene over here with the EMLS, which is still a growing league in North America. So there's a lot of different things here and there where sports-based leagues still have room to grow. I think this is another good way to test those waters. What if we throw a world competition out there? What if we take an approach that we've seen other scenes like CSGO take, where they have these other tournaments like Gears of War is trying to take? I feel like it's a little bit of a variety change between those two. It's not quite fitting in either one of those molds, but at the same point, it is a way to break the audience, to build that audience from different areas. So I'm excited to see how it goes. I don't know if it'll be the greatest thing, but I think the organizations partnering up to do it are pretty strong. Sticking with the sport-based leagues, the MLS has signed a multi-year partnership with Scuff Gaming. Scuff controllers are some of the best out there for PS4 in particular. We've seen a lot of custom-designed ones. They will be used at the EMLS competitive events in the 2020 and 21 season. I think this is a really good move by the EMLS, John. This is them saying the EMLS league is here to stay. We're now going to start locking down long-term deals. We want ways to bring more funding to the league, to increase our prize pools, to hopefully benefit player salaries more, because the organizations aren't really paying a ton of money to their players right now. Hopefully something like this will go back to the orgs and eventually to the player salaries as well.
Yeah, and if there's one thing I love about this deal is when we've talked with several EMLS pros, we've done some events for DC United. One of the biggest things that come up is the fact that EMLS is sponsored by PlayStation. A lot of these players play on Xbox, and there is a difference. You know, I'm a PlayStation guy. I'll admit it. There is a difference between the controllers and the, you know, it's just one feels more comfortable in the hand. I'm not going to say which one does or doesn't, but a lot of people make an argument that one feels better to play with. With Scuff controllers, you can have that same kind of setup. You're not locked into one style of controller and you have to try to get used to play on that controller. That's like essentially changing out your cleats on when you're on a legit soccer team. You know, every game you have to break them in. You have to, you know, you may not be used to the way, you know, a certain style is, you know, and you kind of, you know, you kind of limit yourself on what you can and can't do based upon your equipment. In this case, that controller. When we did the Washington Capitals event, Joey, the gift, the championship gift, if you will, was those amazing Washington Capitals Scuff controllers. They looked absolutely freaking fantastic, but they're able to be customized in a way that the players wanted them to be. It was like an Xbox controller setup, but in the minimalistic design of a PlayStation controller. So it wasn't like the big lumpy Xbox controller that people know. It was a little bit more slim, but the joysticks were in the positions of Xbox. I think this is going to solve a lot of issues a lot of EMLS players have with the PlayStation controller going forward, because now they can use this Scuff controller with this partnership. I love this deal. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's going to make EMLS even better because of it.
Right, and outside of the Xbox Elite controller, I think Scuff is better than the basic Xbox controller and better than the basic PlayStation controller. When you look at the grips, a lot of these guys are playing for intense long sessions, whether it be practice, whether it be on stage, their hands might get sweaty, they might end up dropping the controller. I think the added grip really adds a sensation to that. On top of that, the Scuff controllers have really good analog sticks. Analog sticks are part of the most important part of a lot of these games. In FIFA, not as much. I mean, a little shift here and there for your passing and your goal directing for shooting. But other than that, I mean, you look at shooters, this makes a huge, huge, huge difference. I think it will make an impact on FIFA. I don't think it'll be as big in sense of gameplay, but I do think as far as long-term partnerships, this is something the EMLS needed to lock down, and I hope we see more on this front. In other news, Gears of War 5 has added a weekly esports shop that will include a number of customizable items from character skins to weapon skins that will help crowdfund the increased prize pools for their esports events. I think this is a really good idea, and I love the fact that right with the release of a new title, Gears of War and Microsoft is taking this approach. I think crowdfunding is something we should see in more and more esports titles. Why not allow fans, if they want to purchase from this esports shop or purchase esports paraphernalia, why not allow it to go back to the teams, go back to those prize pools? This is a really, really good move in my opinion. Again, I think Gears of War is a little overpriced with some of their skins and things out there right now, but I do love the fact that they are giving back to the esports teams in this way.
Are they like $20 skins like we're seeing in Fortnite?
Not quite that expensive. Those are like skin packs at that price, but they are pretty decent. I mean, like, it's like $10 for some of their skins. And I mean, if I'm going to pay $10 for a skin, that thing needs to have completely new animations. My gun doesn't need to be shooting bullets. It needs to be shooting something else out. Like, I don't know. There needs to be some more animation, some more effects if I'm going to pay $10 straight up for a skin. But Fortnite's doing it. I mean, Fortnite is making billions of dollars with this crazy approach. So why not other games try it? If people are going to pay, they're going to pay. I hope Gears comes down in price. But again, I love the fact they are giving back to their esports scene. John, this one's for you. Call of Duty Mobile is set to release on both Android and iPhones on October 1st. You being a huge mobile gamer and a fan of Call of Duty that you are, how are you feeling about this one?
I want to slap you so hard right now. Hooray! I'm about as excited as I am for Diablo Mobile. But it's... hooray, another mobile game that I'll probably never play because, again, it's a title that should never be put onto a phone. I'll leave it there. Hooray. Cool. Awesome.
I hate to be that guy because I like some mobile games here and there. There are some that have really grabbed my attention. I agree. I think Call of Duty should stick to console and PC. At the same point, I think Call of Duty Mobile is going to sell a ton of in-game purchases. I mean, if you think Fortnite did well and Call of Duty already has the reach that it does, I think this game is going to sell billions on mobile.
Oh, you're 100%. For the sales, for the income that this game will generate, you're absolutely correct. But I'm not going to say I'm a video game purist or anything like that, but I'm sorry. There's certain titles that shouldn't be manipulated, scaled down, destroyed, graphically hindered to be put onto a mobile device. It just, I get it. You want the money grab. I understand that aspect of it. But come on. It's like these games are engineered to perform on beasts of machines, whether it's a console, whether it's a PC. They're graphically intense. You're able to put so much into a game that goes onto a PC and onto a console. I'm like, you're talking like, what was it? Anthem was 100 gigs download for that game. 100 gigs. And you saw how amazing it was. What if it came out tomorrow that Anthem is going to come out on a mobile device? It's like, how are you going to scale that down? You're going to have to take so much out of that game. You're going to have to scale down the graphics so much. You're going to have to manipulate that game to such a point it's not even the original game anymore. That's my issue. Is if you're going to play the game, play it right. Play it on a console. Play it on a PC. If you're going to make a mobile game, make it a mobile game. Build it for the mobile platform. But do not destroy a game and make a watered-down version out of it for a cash grab. I sound like a video game purist, but that's the thing. It's like you're destroying something that you really made a name for. I don't like it.
Okay, now, I might be wrong on this, and I could be completely wrong. I think Call of Duty Mobile is completely different from the title coming out. I think this is designed straight up for mobile like you're asking for. So I think they did follow that guideline. My question is more like, is this going to be a game that's going to be around for a long time, or is this going to be a game where we get a new mobile Call of Duty title every year now? Because that would drive me absolutely insane. Like, if we're talking one game, like a Fortnite, where maybe there's updates that change things or add new maps or different things like that, add new guns, I'm totally cool with that. Like, okay, let's throw on a mobile. You're going to make a ton of money. It might not be the greatest game ever, but I guarantee a bunch of teens are going to play it. Then on the other side, if we have to pay a price to get that game and then get new titles every once in a while on mobile too, Activision, that's just saying, sorry, boy, I'm going to have to sell that stock after I gave you the bump up previously in this episode. I have question marks around Call of Duty as a brand right now. The same reason if I had the money to jump into the Call of Duty League, I don't know if I would because there's still so many question marks around the rotation of titles. To me, if they're doing this right and they released it as just purely Call of Duty Mobile, so I'm thinking since we don't have Big Red One or Modern Warfare or War of Worlds or World of War or whatever the other names are, since we don't have any of that craziness behind it, I'm thinking this is just going to be a straight up single time mobile game. That's what I hope. I think that's the best way to go. I think you make it free to play. Then you add some in-game stuff in if you have to because you want to make money. So they're going to. We know it. But overall, if they change out the game year to year, that's the bigger issue for me. Okay, Activision, it's been fun. It's been great. We'll look forward to seeing you later this month when Call of Duty releases in October. League of Legends, though, John, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary on October 15th. They're going to kick things off with a live stream that is scheduled to start at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time for us folks on the East Coast. The stream will kick off events in-game as well as include a 10th anniversary version of Riot Please, or Rito Please as the community calls it, as well as a look back at favorite League of Legends moments, a look forward to this year's preseason changes ahead of the changes in, it's like November, December range that they usually make them, and TFT's next big content update. Additionally, unrelated to the anniversary, the ranked season is set to end on November 19th. John, will you be tuning into the anniversary stream on Columbus Day?
I probably will be. I remember playing this game when it first came out in beta. I remember sitting in dorm rooms in college playing this game with friends. I remember, you know, I just remember it all. Like, it's been 10 years of a great game. It's kind of up there with World of Warcraft that's been out for 15 years now. It has a solid community behind it. We're not going to get into the toxicity of the community, but it has a solid community behind it. It's developed an amazing esports scene. This is a major celebration. A lot of games don't last this long based off of one model. I mean, Riot Games is known for one game. They've only made one game up until TFT. They've only really done one thing. So it really is impressive, and they've done it well, and it's taken off all around the world. It's a game that I still love. I love to watch it a little bit more than I enjoy playing it at the moment. but that comes and goes. But I'll be watching. I think it's going to be an amazing event. I think Riot will do it right. I'm really excited to see what kind of events they're going to put on for their 10th year anniversary.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be anything crazy, but I do see some announcements getting leaked. The TFT changes. I'm hoping we maybe get a little bit more of a look at the next game they're developing, where they put that S with Riot Games and actually turn it into a multi-game thing. TFT, you can count maybe, but they are developing another game. Some people think it's an MMO. Some people think it's a fighter title. There's a few different things out there. Some people think it's League of Legends Mobile. So there's a lot of different options potentially. I know it might come out. It's doing extremely well in China, the little knockoff one that Tencent made. So we'll see. League of Legends Mobile could be a huge thing if it does end up releasing, unfortunately. Yeah, my little purist over there. But we'll have to see what happens overall. But yeah, like you said, John, the bigger point here is the fact that League has been around for so long. Riot Games developed this game years ago as a passion project. It's made its way all the way here 10 years later. There are so few games that have actually kept going that strong. And League of Legends is not only keeping going, it's actually been growing over that time. There was a statistic about how they've continued to increase their monthly playership, their daily playership. Like, that to me is the big stellar thing here. We see other games like Smash Melee has a huge cult following, but it's smaller. Like, it's huge in the sense of comparison to other titles outside of League of Legends and CSGO, but really overall it's not that big. Outside of League of Legends, Dota 2, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, I mean, these are games that have been around as competitive games, but also in the esports scene for so long, and they're not only falling off, they're, like, continuing to grow. Like, there's no fall-off happening, which is amazing to me. Like, you might have some LCS viewership drop-off here and there when Cloud9's playing, or different...
I'm sorry, did you say drop-off when Cloud9's playing?
I think you meant drop-off
when TSM plays.
I mean, Cloud9 is, like, Fnatic. They both pull in tons of viewers. It's just fun to poke at you every once in a while. But overall, I mean, that is the big thing for me. The fact that they've continued to grow the game, the user base of the game, they continue to sell these microtransactions. And honestly, of all the games out there, I think League's microtransactions are reasonable. You can earn a ton of in-game gold to unlock champions. Yes, you have to pay for skins, but they give regular sales often, some up to 70% off on skins of champions you typically use. So there's a little bit of give and take here and there. People have still spent lots of money in the OTN community that I know of. I not being one of those, thankfully, that I've been passed over by the League bug in that sense. But there is a ton of fun in this game, just like CSGO, just like Dota 2, the game continuing to grow. And I think 10 years is a reason to celebrate. I think we might see another 10 years, if not more, out of League of Legends, the way they keep updating this game. Wow, that's the most positive I think I've ever been about League in a long time.
Seriously.
Overwatch League, the playoffs do happen this next weekend. The finals are going to be taking place on Sunday. We did cover those last week, but just to give a reminder, so we have the San Francisco Shock and the Vancouver Titans. John, I believe we both took the Shock. Are you sticking with that?
I'm sticking with the Shock.
Perfect. And then for League of Legends Worlds, we got to make our way down there. The Accor Hotel Arena's website. So how popular is Worlds, guys? We know it pulls in tons of viewers, especially from China, but the website of the event hoster, the arena, the field, the Coliseum? Well, it is an arena. The name is arena, duh. The Accor Hotel Arena in Paris. Their website reportedly registered more than 600,000 connections when Worlds 2019 tickets went on sale. John, I can guarantee there are not 600,000 seats in that arena. But that's how many connections this thing registered. This is how popular it is. Just in the opening minutes of ticket registration going live, they pulled in over 500,000 connections. That to me is just amazing. And that to me is another reason why are we holding it in such a small stadium? And that is my rant for that one. Any other thoughts on that, with this thing pulling in tons of connections but being held in such a small arena?
Yeah, I will never understand why. I mean, when it's in Korea, we hold it in an 80,000 seat arena, but yet when it's outside of Korea, we don't think it's going to sell. It doesn't make sense.
It's crazy. And supposedly 75% of the connections came from France alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is crazy. That's the closest one. That's the easiest access to it. But can you imagine like 10 more minutes, 20 more minutes into this, especially with China buying into it? Like, I don't know. That's just crazy to me. I feel like when you have a packed arena in Korea or South Korea, like, okay, it's South Korea. It's the capital of esports pretty much throughout the world outside of LA. It's giant. It's super popular. It's popular in China as well. They're not that far away. I mean, on the same Asian area. That to me is like, okay, we've hit the 80,000. Maybe it's going to be smaller outside of Asia, but I don't know if you drop it as much as they did here in Paris.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. There is so much more potential. I'd be kind of curious to see the logistics behind that decision. Maybe those other larger arenas weren't available. That is something that is a real factor. You know, there are events that are planned years in advance. I would hope that, you know, Riot would be ahead of that. You know, hopefully they have the next 5 years already planned, because that's really how far you have to go out now to do major events like this. You have to get your bookings and you have to get your reservations in years in advance. That's how the world operates right now. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck, you know, playing your world championship in a hotel ballroom again like you did in season one. We don't want to go back there, Riot. We want to stay in the big boy arenas. We don't want to go back to the Holiday Inn. So yes, let's please think of this going forward.
Yeah, I'm not very good at reading French. I'm having a hard time seeing how many of the seats. But I'm kind of curious why they wouldn't hold it somewhere like Wembley. I mean, Wembley holds almost 100,000, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and chat makes a great point here. Maybe part of the interest is that exclusivity. The fact that it's, you know, only going to be X amount of people. And like it's all supply and demand. You can argue, you know, you can charge more because there's less of the tickets. You can make more money. But also at the same time, it's like if you're charging, let's say, $100 per ticket, you know, for, you know, 40,000 people to go to Worlds. Okay, cool. That's great. But what if you charged $50 per ticket and you held it in an arena that holds 100,000? You still make more money in the arena that holds 100,000 in that sense. And the ticket prices are more reasonable. More people can afford to go. More people can have that experience and more people can fall in love with your game. You know, the big thing here isn't the ticket price. It's the experience. The experience is what makes people fall in love with the game, fall in love with the community, fall in love with the scene. It's not, you know, who spends the most money, who gets the VIP package. So it's kind of interesting the way that these leagues, these organizations look at these events and how they want to make these tickets exclusive versus making them more accessible to the broader fan base. It's food for thought. It's something that, you know, definitely esports needs to look at. And it's definitely an interesting question.
Yeah, I have a feeling after the turnout this year, after so many clicks just on the opening few minutes of this event, I have a feeling we're going to be a much, much bigger stadium next year. Okay, speaking of big moves, let's talk League of Legends Worlds. We've already talked about the site. We know where the finals is happening. But what about that play-in? What about the group stage draws that both happened today? John, let's kick things off with the play-in stage. Group A, we have Mammoth, Clutch Gaming, and Unicorns of Love. Who are you taking to come out of this group and why?
I'm going to take Clutch Gaming because I like the storyline. I like the idea of Huni coming back, possibly being drawn into the same group of his two former teams, being Fnatic and SKT. Spoiler alert! There's such a great storyline there. I think Unicorns of Love coming out of this group would be great as well. A team that kind of got rejected during the franchising of the LEC. They went to the Russian League. And now they're kind of making their way back into the world stage. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I'm going to go with Clutch. I want another NA team to make it into the group stage. And I would love for them to be put in the group with Fnatic and SKT.
Well, it's your lucky day, sir. There's a good chance that happens. But you actually get to pick two to advance from this group. Because then from there, they go into a play-in knockout stage.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, I'm going to take Clutch and Unicorns.
I'm going to take Clutch and Unicorns as well in that order. Clutch first, Unicorns second. Over to Group B, who I would label as the group of death this year. We have Detonation Focus Me from Japan, Splice from Europe, and then Isurus Gaming from, I believe, Brazil, definitely in that Latin American region. I think all three of these teams are really, really strong. Who are you taking out?
I'm going to take Mad Lions and Detonation Focus Me.
Mad Lions? Okay.
I hate myself. Yeah, Splice. I mean, they're losing their name. Why not? Why not call them Mad Lions now? Yeah. No one's going to know. No one's going to know who in the world you're talking about. Terrible idea.
I'm going to take Splice to finish first in this group. Being over in Europe, having all that experience playing against G2, against Fnatic, I think is going to do wonders for them in this tournament. And then I think they move on and have a really good favorable draw into the group stage itself. Along with them, I want to take the Japanese team. I think Detonation Focus Me is probably the way to go, but do not sleep on Isurus Gaming. This is a team with some of the most storied players in League of Legends history. Some of the most championships have been won by Isurus. Again, these championships are based in Latin America, but the consistency has been there. Now they have the chance at the world stage. I would not sleep on them just yet. Group C, Mega Esports, Low Key Esports, and Hong Kong Attitude.
Low key, I like the Attitude. I'm going to go with those two.
Yeah, I have no idea who Mega is, but they have this giant elephant. I'm going to go with Hong Kong Attitude to finish first. They're a great team. We saw them last year. I think they have a lot of potential again this year. For the second seed, I'm going to roll the dice, and I'm probably going to go low key too, just because I don't know who Mega is. I mean, that's a great elephant you got there. He's still got his tusks, so that's nice. Yeah, I don't know enough about him, and low key's been kind of low key too, but they got a cool looking logo, so I'm going to go with low key. Group D, Flamengo Esports, Damwon Gaming, and Royal Youth.
I'm going to go Damwon because I like saying their name. And I'm going to go Royal Youth because Flamengo Esports has a capital S in Esports, and it's kind of tilting me at the moment. So I'm going to go Royal Youth and Damwon.
Ooh, okay, I'm going to go Damwon as well. I actually think Damwon is going to come out of this and potentially win Group D. Being that third seed from Korea, now down in the play-ins, they are very, very scary. As far as this other team, though, I'm just taking a look at these rosters. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be a really good group. Flamengo has BRTT. He went off last year. Royal Youth also has a good player in Pilot, who spent a lot of time in the LCK. I want to go Royal Youth, but I'm going to go Flamengo. Let's be different, John. I will go Flamengo. They look like they're wearing a little... a football logo over there from Italy. Both teams, like I said, they have a lot of talent. I think they're spread out pretty well. When it comes down to it, I'm curious to see who's going to end up coming out, but I do think it's between those two for the second seed because I do not see either one of them taking down Damwon, no matter how much cheese they use. So then from there, we'll see what happens with the playoffs, but John and I could easily be wrong, especially with us taking a few different ones in there. So we'll hold off on that, but for now, let's jump over to the actual groups, what we have for the first three drawings for each of those groups. Group A, G2 Esports, arguably the favorite to take home Worlds this year. They did win at MSI against a Korean powerhouse team, at least in the semifinals. And they look strong, or maybe they played IG, I don't remember. But either way, they looked extremely strong over in MSI. They showed that they can battle with the best of Korea, with North America, with South Korea, China, all those huge regions over there. They've shown that they are what it takes to be a champion. Can they do it on the world stage, though? They'll be up against Griffin, I believe the number two seed from the LCK. And Cloud9, the number two seed from NA. How are your boys faring?
This is a rough group. Worst case scenario happened here, boys. this is rough. G2 is arguably the king of Europe over the past several years. Fnatic has even struggled against them. Fnatic is still a very solid team, making all the way to the finals last year. But G2... That's a tough team. Griffin is scary. This is not a good draw if you're a Cloud9 fan. But let's not forget, Cloud9 has been drawn into groups like this before, where a lot of people look at it and go, there's no way Cloud9 can even compete for a second seed. And they do. People say Cloud9 when they were in the play-in groups. Oh, there's no way they're getting out of the play-in groups. They're stuck with X, Y, and Z team from the LCK or the LPL. And then what happens? Cloud9 makes it out. Cloud9, it is the most successful NA team in Worlds, making all the way to the Final Four last year. They had a tough group. They made it out. They know what they're doing. I think this year is going to be different, not having Jensen in mid lane. But I'm not going to count Cloud Nine out. I think they have a strong chance to take the number two seed in this group.
I would be stunned if G2 Esports gets knocked out. I think Griffin and Cloud Nine are both beatable teams. Cloud Nine, like you said, though, they always seem to find a way out of groups, it feels like. Griffin, to me, is a very big powerhouse team from the LCK, but we saw the LCK falter last year. A little bit of cheese here and there can catch South Korea off guard. I think Cloud9 could take down Griffin, but if I'm going to put money on it, I'm taking G2 and Griffin in that order at the moment. Group B, we have Fun Plus Phoenix, J-Team, and GAM Esports. I will definitely be taking Fun Plus Phoenix to take the win on this one. I will take J-Team out of the tentative ones here, but I could easily see the fourth team taking this one as the seed two.
Group B is going to be interesting to watch. It's definitely a mixed bag, if you will. And I think I agree with you here, Joey. I think the play-in team, I think Group B is really the one that's up for grabs out of all four groups here.
Right, and I think Splice can still go in that group. Mm-hmm. If Splice ends up in that group, I would not be surprised to see Splice take that number two seed. Group C, the group of death. You were unhappy with Cloud9's placement. What if they dropped right into this one in place of Fnatic? We have SK Telecom, T1, Fnatic, and Royal Never Give Up. The combination of many world championships in this group, Fnatic winning the season 1-1, SKT, I believe, has three under their belt. Royal Never Give Up has been so close, but they've never given up, hence the name. And they are back once again, looking really strong as China's, I believe they're the number one seed coming out of the LPL. Overall, what are your thoughts on this? This is a really hard one to call, in my opinion. I don't know who to call, if I'm being honest.
It's tough. What version of SKT are we going to get? What version of Faker are we going to get? That is the biggest question mark with SKT. Last year, they underwhelmed like crazy. RNG, one of the big favorites from last year, they also faltered. These are two teams that on paper, nobody should be able to stop them, not even a Fnatic. And here we are. If SKT and RNG play like they did last year, if they did not learn their lesson, if they do not take Fnatic seriously, I see Fnatic coming out of this group easily. I think SKT, that's going to be tough. It's definitely the group of death. I think all three teams are very talented, very skilled. You have to give SKT and RNG the slight edge. You have to. Fnatic having Nemesis on the roster, that's going to be tough. It's going to be an insane experience for him. It is just hard to pick against Faker, and it's hard to pick against RNG in this group.
This is why I am so happy we have Nemesis instead of Caps, to be completely honest. In a group like this, you want consistency in your mid lane. I think Nemesis is going to bring that consistency. Flashy players like Caps are going to pop off games here and there, but against mids like Faker, they're not always going to pop off, and he has the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. With Nemesis, it's a very high floor, a little lower ceiling than what we see with Caps. But I think that high floor is going to be doing wonders for Fnatic in this group. I'm actually going to take SKT and Fnatic to come out of this one at the moment. I think Clutch Gaming will probably get that fourth seed if I had to take a guess, which will build upon great storylines. You look at Huni, the top laner for Clutch Gaming. He played on Fnatic, and he went to the semifinals of Worlds with them. He played on SKT, and he went to either the semifinals or finals with them as well. So I think that's going to be another huge, huge storyline if the script writer writes Clutch Gaming into Group C here with the next draw-in. So we'll see what happens, but overall, I think this is definitely the group of death. I think any of these three teams, any of these four teams potentially could come out of this group. My biggest worry is Royal Never Give Up. I think Fnatic can take a game off SKT. I think we can take a game off Royal Never Give Up. I thought we'd have a hard time against IG last year, and we did. I think we can do the same thing this year. I think this group's going to come down to a tiebreaker. I think it's going to be a tiebreaker matchup between potentially Fnatic and Royal Never Give Up, and I think whoever wins that one's going to advance. I'm going to take Fnatic just because I do think Europe is fighting on a whole nother cylinder right now. But you never know. Looking at last year, Invictus Gaming and Fnatic coming out 1-2 in Group D, I would not be surprised to see a final between SKT and Fnatic this year either if the cards draw right in the quarterfinals.
Now, I do think Fnatic has a good chance against RNG. Taking a look at last year's tournament, Cloud9 got drawn into Group B after the playing stage. It was RNG, Cloud9, Team Vitality, and Gen G. Remember, Gen G was one of the teams that a lot of people had high hopes for. They ended up, like the rest of the LCK, kind of just falling asleep. Team Vitality really struggled as well. They ended up finishing 500. And Cloud9 and Royal never gave up. Royal never gave up. Finished 4-2. There was actually that tiebreaker that had to be played for that first seed. RNG is Fortnite random number generator. RNG is vulnerable. They're very vulnerable, and I think Fnatic can take a game off of them. I think they could possibly take two games off of them. Fnatic is they're able to do this. I do think Fnatic can take that two seed. I think SKT does bounce back from their horrible performance last year. I think it's going to be a battle between those two going forward.
I like Fnatic against RNG in best of ones much more than I like Fnatic against them in best of five, so I think that's going to be the advantage for them. Having that best of one, they can be a little bit cheesier. They can play to bot lane a little bit more if they want to kind of capitalize on Uzi. So we'll see what happens. Again, Group of Death, it's going to be a tough one, but I mean, if I have to label every single team in this tournament, John, I think all three of these teams are potential top five teams in the tournament.
For sure.
So, sucks to see them all in one group, potentially. It'll be one hell of a group to watch, but overall, it will be tough once we get to the quarterfinals, knocking off so much heat at the beginning. Group D, the last group of Worlds here. Again, we only know the top three teams. It's going to be Team Liquid, AHQ, and Invictus Gaming. It's probably pretty safe to take Team Liquid and Invictus out of what's showing currently. I think Damwon gets placed in this group, and I'm actually going to give Damwon the number one seed, with Invictus Gaming taking the number two.
So are you saying that Team Liquid is not going to make it out of groups again?
I think Team Liquid's memes that they're making today about how easy their group is are going to not age very well.
No, I'm right there with you. Team Liquid, on paper, again, they're a championship caliber team. They're built for international competition was how they were hyped. And yeah, I don't know about you, Joey. I was not very impressed with their performance last year. I thought it was very slow. I thought it was very generic. I thought it was very safe, and it didn't work, and they didn't make any changes. They didn't change their play style. They really didn't do much of anything. Doublelift had one good game, one, and last time I checked, one game is not good enough to get you out of groups. Team Liquid's gonna struggle, but I agree with you. If Damwon gets put into this group, I do think that they have a very good opportunity here to take that one seed, which is absurd to think that a team coming from the playing stage can take that one seed. Cloud9 almost did it last year. Who knows? Maybe this is the year that it happens.
And I do want to mention, I think there's a little foreshadowing here. Team Liquid has kind of drawn their way away from that number four spot with all these number one first place finishes as of recent. But notice they got drawn fourth in the draw. I think this might be a little foreshadowing for something to come.
Oh, and fun fact, Team Liquid did finish third in their group last year against Edward Gaming, K2 Rollster, and Mad Team. Mad Team went 0-6 in that group. Team Liquid could not beat KT. They split with Edge, and they beat Mad. But that was a group that Team Liquid should have competed better in, and they couldn't. Now this is a group that I would argue has better teams this year, and I don't see them being any different.
Right, and Invictus Gaming looks worse than they did last year. They're not coming in as sharp as they did for last year's World Championship. But Damwon, if they draw Damwon, they're going to be saying, Damwon, you a little too good for us. It's just that team is so talented. I think Damwon is in my top five for the whole tournament, and they're in the freaking play-in stage. Just like Fnatic last year, I think they're really going to sneak their way in, and I think they can take a number one seed off this group. If they end up in Group D, Damwon, I think, I don't want to give it to them right away, but I think it's a pretty clean victory that they have a good shot at. So I think they can go to Group D or Group B, I believe. So Group B, they would probably be the number two seed over there. But Group D, I think they could clean a house. I think that does it there, John. I think we've come to the end of the show. It's been great Worlds talk. Thank you, Discord, for this fun experience. Thank you, chat, for sticking around during this beautiful lag. But we're ready. We're excited for Worlds. We're excited for the League of Legends 10-year anniversary. John, take us out.
Nation, I don't know how we did it. I don't know how we managed to get to this point in the show, but we're here. That will do it for this episode of Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, We love to hear from all of our listeners so much. We have other ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us in this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. And who knows, maybe Discord might actually work for us next week. So do your ears a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.
Level up.